we have one final session to go. We saved the best for last.
Yes.
And super pumped about this final session. You want to tell me a little bit about you and
Hannah? I know. Yvonne Gentile is going to be talking next, and she's going to share about implementing a prompt, personal, and pleasant follow-up. You're going to really enjoy her session, kicking it off as the last session of the day after a lot of incredible content.
My name is Yvonne Gentile, and I lead the ministries of hospitality and connection at the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. I'm going to be sharing with you three tips and some practical ideas for effective follow-up in order to quickly engage guests in the life of your church. Guests come to church for many reasons. They come seeking connection. They're curious, but they're also questioning, fearful of being judged or pressured into something that they're just not quite ready for. That means we need to go out of our way to create a great guest experience, an environment of openness and welcome that breaks down barriers and makes people feel comfortable and accepted just as they are. And the guest experience doesn't end with the benediction. Our guest follow-up is an extension of our hospitality and the guest experience. Our messaging and approach are critical. Our follow-up needs to communicate to guests that they already belong, or at least make them feel like they could belong, because before anybody decides to grow deeper in their faith, or be healed in their brokenness, or get connected into community, they first have to feel like they belong. We increase the chances of that connection happening with excellent follow-up. We know guest follow-up is important, but sometimes knowing how to do it effectively can be a mystery. Sometimes even with the best of intentions, our follow-up efforts don't quite have the intended effect. We've all experienced follow-up that was more of a turn-off than an encouragement to return. We know we don't want that. So we found that there are three principles of effective follow-up. And these principles are true whether you're following up after worship or after programming participation. The first component of effective follow-up is that it is prompt. In 2007, Bill Eason published an article titled, How to Grow a Church of Less Than 500, stating that the promptness of guest follow-up had a significant impact on their return rate. Here's tip number one, follow up within 24 hours. Bill's research showed that if you follow up within 24 hours, your guests are 85% likely to return. That's powerful stuff. Reach out 24 to 72 hours after their visit, and the return rate falls to 60%. If you wait more than 72 hours, your return rate drops to 15%. Prompt follow-up is an indicator to our guests that they matter to us. In today's environment of fast information and instant gratification, slow follow-up implies that their visit wasn't incredibly exciting or important to us. Remember this. If you wait until Wednesday to follow up with your guests in worship, you're losing 85% of them. Following up within 24 hours has to be a high priority for us. The second component of effective follow-up is that it's personal. So here's tip number two, make a personal connection. Guests aren't seeking connection with your building. They're hoping to find community. A person-to-person interaction is most effective in engaging guests. In our children's ministry, when a new child is checked into our Kids Corps programming, the person who checked the family in sends them a handwritten note the same day. After worship, one of our volunteers delivers a coffee mug and offers a warm welcome to guests after their first visit. Make sure your written follow-up is personal by using your guest's name instead of a generic greeting. In their book, The Power of Moments, Chip and Dan Heath write that what makes a guest experience memorable is a personal touch and the element of pleasant surprise, and that only happens when human beings interact. So effective follow-up is prompt, personal, and finally, it's pleasant. Sometimes in our efforts to identify and acknowledge new guests, we can unintentionally make them very uncomfortable. 63% of guests prefer to wait until they've visited a few times before they let anybody know they're visiting. Let them fly under the radar during their visit if they like. Just make sure that their guest experience and your follow-up lets them know that they were not invisible. We need to recognize the courage that it takes for someone to come to church for the first time and be sensitive, navigating that fine line between excellent follow-up and something that feels more like church stalking. So here's tip number three. Make sure your follow-up is a pleasant experience for your guests. Commit to making your follow-up processes as light and non-invasive as possible, while still being committed to intentional follow-up. Avoid church lingo as much as you can. Guests just aren't familiar with our clever ministry names or common church terms. Use plain language in a friendly conversational tone. The tone and tenor of our follow-up can create a positive emotional response when it's done well. And that's important because guests return not because of what we do, but because of how we make them feel. Follow-up that is prompt, personal, and pleasant is powerful. Keeping these three principles in mind, let's shift gears to creating effective follow-up processes. First, establish a reliable method to identify who your guests are and how many times they've visited, if you don't have one already. Some churches have a designated location for guests to come to and interact with staff or volunteers, and they might even encourage them to do so by offering a gift if they stop by. Other churches use connect cards that they ask guests to complete during worship and then turn in later so that they can capture the needed information. Our process is a little bit different. We pass attendance notebooks as a separate element in every worship service so that we can track guest and member attendance in worship in our database. And that enables all of our follow-up processes. Because everybody in the service is passing the notebooks and filling them out at the same time, guests don't feel singled out, and our compliance rate is really high. Determine what your milestones will be and the goal for each contact. With what frequency and for what duration of time will you follow up with guests? What's your desired outcome for each contact? Will you reach out every time they visit until they become members? Only their first three visits? Or some other frequency? And for how long of a time span? It's really important to be intentional about what you hope to accomplish with each follow-up contact. What information do you want to provide? What invitation to action will you give them? And more importantly, what emotion do you hope to inspire? Vary your communication method. Use as many channels as possible, because some methods will connect with one group but not another, and vice versa. Use every method available to you, and think strategically about when to use which method. Using a variety of channels also makes your follow-up more engaging and less likely to feel overpowering. At Resurrection, our follow-up milestones in worship are our guest's first, third, and fifth visit. We try to space our contacts strategically, following up to let guests know that we've noticed them and that we welcome them, but far apart enough that we don't become an annoyance. We regularly reevaluate because we know that what worked 5 years ago might not be effective today. First-time guests receive a brief text message, a hand-delivered coffee mug, and a letter from our senior pastor. The first contact a guest receives from us is a text message. There are several text messaging services available, but last fall we started using Text in Church. Within 24 hours of worshiping with us, often the same day they worship, a first-time guest receives a text with a simple personal message, something like this. Hi, Tina and Mark. This is Jamie from Church of the Resurrection. Thank you for visiting. Do you have any questions about the church I can answer? We make it personal, the staff or volunteer sending our text and checking the responses includes their own name in the message. That also helps to make sure the text doesn't get blocked. And we address the guest by name as well. We just love this tool. We have found that half of our first-time guests give us their phone number, and about half of those respond to the message we send. That's a 50% response rate. It's tremendous. Many times the response is just a brief acknowledgement. No questions. Thank you for making me feel welcome. We'll visit again soon. These don't require a response in return from us. But frequently, we get a response to our text that creates an opening for a deeper connection. Last week, we received a response that said, "Hello, Jamie. I'm looking to connect into a church family. I just moved to Kansas City alone, and I want to find community. Thanks for reaching out. We were able to have further conversation, learned this young man had just taken his first job out of college, and got him connected to our young adult ministry. And occasionally, we get a response that shares a deeply felt need, like one we received early this spring. It said, "Thank you so much for reaching out. I've just been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, and I want very much to get my husband and my 3 little boys connected to a support system before my illness progresses. Can you help?" We followed up with this family, and we're providing care and ongoing connection and support. Texting allows us to make a prompt and easy personal connection with our new guests. When we have guests that respond with more serious questions, we ask permission to move the conversation to email or telephone. I'll say this, no other follow-up process that we've used has enabled us to create that level of personal connection so quickly. Because we're committed to light, non-invasive follow-up, we don't text guests a second time unless they respond to our first message. So we also deliver a coffee mug to our first-time guests within 24 hours of their first visit. We invite our entire congregation to get in on the action of delivering mugs. It's meant to be a personal but light touch, hopefully delivered by someone who lives in the same neighborhood. We train our volunteers to take less than 60 seconds to drop the mug off and not to enter the guest's home, even if they're invited. If the guest isn't home, they leave the mug by the door with a handwritten note. Showing up at a guest's home is a personal interaction. It's a pleasant surprise because it's quick and light, we don't go in, which creates a memorable moment. Sometimes they even send us notes back, thanking us for the coffee mug and the warm welcome it represented. People ask why we give a mug and not something else. Some churches deliver cookies or other goodies, or they give away red box codes and popcorn, and those are great too. We chose mugs because people tend to keep them. And unlike cookies that are eaten and then are gone, a mug often sits on the guest counter all week, with our church logo reminding them to visit again. Now, I've heard people say, nobody needs another mug, and I get it. But for us, this has proven not only to be a way to connect personally with guests, it is also an inexpensive and effective form of marketing. The goal is to give people something that will keep our church name in front of them long after their visit. They use it, they see our name repeatedly, and they remember and connect it to our experience at our church. Here's a statistic for you. People keep branded gifts on average for 7 months, and a third of them keep them for 2 years. That means our logo is quietly inviting them back to our church for a long time. Finally, our first-time guests receive a welcome letter from our senior pastor the week of their first visit. We send those out in the mail on Tuesday afternoon following weekend services, so guests typically receive it in their mailbox on Wednesday or Thursday. The letter is always personalized with first names. It expresses appreciation for their visit and invites them to return the following weekend. Now, you might be thinking, that sounds like an awful lot of contacts. But the reality is most of our first-time guests won't receive all those contacts. Remember that 63% of guests want to wait a few times before they let you know they're visiting. So many first-time guests parse out the information they give us over several visits. If they only give us a phone number, they only receive a text. If they only give us an email address, they receive an email version of our first-time guest letter. Using a variety of contact methods helps us reach more of our first-time guests. Our next follow-up milestone is the third time a guest visits. Now, some churches follow up with guests on their second visit as well. Again, select the milestones that work for your church and with a specific goal in mind. We selected their third visit because it signals to us that they have more than a passing interest in our church, and we use this contact to develop a personal connection to our pastors. Our pastors call or email the guests who have visited 3 times, and invite them to come introduce themselves the next weekend after service or to set up a time to meet for coffee. The last follow-up step for us with guests is an invitation to our membership event, Coffee with the Pastors. In our process, this happens when a guest has attended 5 times in 1 year. For some people, that happens in 3 months, and for others, it might take a year. About 2 weeks prior to our membership event, we send anyone who's visited 5 times a folded note card with a personal invitation to the event. If we don't have a physical address but have an email address, they receive an invitation via email. Coffee with the Pastors is a 2-hour event where they hear our senior pastor's personal testimony, learn more about what we believe, and our expectations of members. At that point, a guest has worked through all of our follow-up processes. For most guests, that takes 6 months to a year. During that time, if they've connected into our other ministries, those teams are following up with them too. For example, if they joined us for a serve Saturday, our missions team follows up with them to invite them to the next serving opportunity. If they signed up for a class, our discipleship team follows up, inviting them to take a good next step. Every ministry continually follows up to encourage progressively deeper engagement. Once a guest joins the church, that kicks off an intentional follow-up process for members that helps them grow in their faith. But that's an entirely different talk. Remember, effective follow-up is prompt within 24 hours if possible. It's personal. Human interactions create memorable moments, and it's pleasant. Effective follow-up goes out of its way to make people feel comfortable. As I close, I just want to thank you for serving. Your ministry matters. Every time you make a guest feel welcome, you give them a taste of the kingdom of God. Every time you follow up with a guest, you invite them to participate in God's kingdom. And I believe if people are going to experience God's kingdom anywhere, it ought to be at and through the church. Will you join me in prayer? God, I just pray for each of these people and the churches they represent. I ask that you would use this conference to encourage and inspire and equip them to more effectively engage people in their community, in the church. God, all of these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.
Come on. What's up, Yvonne Gentile, bringing that fire. Man, that was a great session, bro.
Right? It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the journey.
I like how you did that.
Like, I was jealous.
Okay.
So it's just the beginning of the journey. And we know, man, ministry has been hard in the last season. And so one of the best things that you can do is get a part of a community that loves you, that will encourage you, that will equip you, that will help you on this journey. And so you want to be back for implementation day. Yes, to get all these things implemented in your account, but maybe most importantly, to get connected, get to implementation day, because you will find more and more people who are going to inspire you, encourage you, pray with you, help you troubleshoot, help you problem solve. You may find your new best friend in ministry there. So you just never know.
And here's cool. I mean, we've got a couple of different things that we're gonna do. Four things that you're gonna build out. You got your volunteers. We're gonna build out all of your volunteers. You're gonna build out your sermon series bump. Okay,
ooh, that's a good one.
That's gonna be huge. That's gonna get you a bunch of visitors and return visitors. That's gonna be dope. You've got your follow up system, which we've been talking about all day here, which is gonna be fire. And then you've got your connect card, which is gonna be awesome. So yep. I'll tell you what, like if you're a senior pastor, just think of all the people that are on the other side of your faithfulness, right? Like all the hundreds or even thousands of people that you're going to reach over the next several weeks, months, maybe even years because of, you know, spending a couple hours doing this. If you're on staff at a church, you can build all this out and then wow the heck out of your senior pastor, right? Like, I'm not kidding. I used to do this. I would send whenever I crushed it like 1 week, I would just send like a weekly like update to my pastor, like all the things that I did that week. Like, hey, just want to let you know, built out these landing pages, sent these emails, texted these parents, met with these kids, blah, blah, blah. Right. And he'd be like, well, you're crushing it. I'd be like, I know. Right. So really it's about a day's work. Right. But you know, just you put everything in there. You just talk about everything. So you'll be able to brag on all those different things. Hey, we've got, man, a follow-up system and we've got all this and there's text messages and emails and there's, you know, handwritten notes and everything. Man, I built it all out. Don't worry. I got you. We're going to reach a lot of people.